Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
My name is Christy. I'm 23 at the time, and my two friends that are twin sisters, Sammy and Tina, were 24. We were going to go to a night baseball game for the Cubs. We sat in our seats behind the visiting team's dugout. We were watching the visiting team practice, which at the time was the Dodgers. I know one of the Dodgers players. His name is Scott, and I was just screaming his name trying to get his attention. Finally, I got his attention and he came right over to talk to us. He told us that after the game we could come on the field for the fireworks. And of course, why say no to that? We sat back down and I had to go to the bathroom. I was walking to the ladies' room and a man walked in behind me. I didn't want to make a scene because at the time people would say it's okay if they identify as a woman, so I just let it go. He was washing his hands once I got done, and then was like,
"Hey cutie, I saw you talking to one of the visiting team's players. Do you know him?"
I told him yes, and he said that he thought that was cool. Then I walked away, and he then ran after me. He then said to me,
"Hey sexy, come back here."
And then he grabbed me by my waist. I turned around and punched him right in his face, then told him, "Do not grab me like that again." To which he then replied with,
"Well, then you shouldn't have done that and walked away from me."
Now, it was about the 6th or 7th inning at this point, and I wanted some ice cream, and I had asked my friends if they wanted anything, but they said no. I went back up there completely aware just to make sure nothing happened again. I was getting ready to pay, and that guy was there again, then saying,
"I'll pay for hers."
To which I just said, "No, it's fine. I've got it. Thanks, though." Then the lady behind the counter was like, "That's so sweet. Is that a friend of yours?" I just said, "No, I didn't even know him." I grabbed the ice cream after paying and then walked away. He came up behind me while I was grabbing napkins and started breathing down my neck. I then turned around and I had told him to stop or I was going to turn him in. I then got back to my seat and I saw him actually sitting in the next section over. I then looked at my friends and I told them to be aware of him. They just said okay. Sammy and Tina's mom had called Sammy's phone and said that she was picking them up in about 5 minutes because of a family emergency. I had driven all three of us there, so it was just me leaving after the game all alone. I was going to ask and see if my friend Scott or someone would walk me to my car after the game. After the game, before the fireworks, Scott had looked at me and then he motioned for me to come down. The security guard let me through. I told my friend Scott what had happened and he then said, "Okay, I'll tell someone to tell the guard. Hold on." Then he had one of his buddies tell the security guard so that things didn't look suspicious. The guard then told me I would be okay. He would make sure that he didn't bother me again. Scott then walked me to my car and then got on the bus to go to their hotel room. I was looking in the rearview mirror and I saw this car kept following me. I then turned and so did they. I stopped and then they stopped too. I ran a red light just to see if they would too, and they did. I was getting really scared, so I decided to call my friend Scott. He told me to go to the hotel he was staying at and his buddies in the hotel security would come out and make sure things were okay. I said okay, and the car had followed me all the way to the hotel. Once he saw Scott and his friend standing outside, though, he sped off. I didn't want to drive anymore, and I had asked Scott if I could stay with him as I was in tears at this point. He just held me in his arms, and he told me that he would just go home with me, and then tomorrow I could drop him off here when it's lighter outside. I said okay, and he came to spend the night with me so that I wouldn't be home alone. I don't know what that guy wanted to do with me, but I really don't know what I would have done if it weren't for my friend Scott.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I'm a female, 31 years old and married, but I look a lot younger than my actual age. In retrospect, my story isn't nearly as frightening as others, but it really spooked me at the time. I also want to give a warning to everyone in regards to strangers asking for too much information. I live in an area that's not exactly known to have pristine neighborhoods. When I walk outside my complex, it's very common to see syringes on the ground, homeless people sleeping in the middle of the sidewalk, and trash and litter. It's also common to hear the sound of police sirens. In fact, a couple of blocks away from me was a furniture store that was busted for actually being a drug production site. The sad part is that I don't even live in the worst part of town. My husband and I plan on moving to a different state very soon. While packing, I noticed we were running low on empty boxes, so I decided to go to our local Home Depot to get some more. For some reason, the parking lot at this location is always super full, so I ended up parking in the back of the parking lot furthest away from the store. I was walking with purpose and quickly made my way through the entrance of the store, eager to get this errand over and done with. As I was walking, there was this guy standing behind a table selling something about AC servicing or something. I didn't really care to read the sign. This guy called out to me and made a sales pitch. I politely declined and walked past him. I grabbed my boxes, went to check out, and then exited the store. It's worth noting that the exit is on the opposite side of the building. It's a good ways away from the entrance. When I reached my car, I opened my trunk to put in the boxes, but I was suddenly interrupted by the guy that had tried to make the pitch to me for the AC services. Keep in mind that I'm far away from the store at this point, and all the way in the back of the parking lot. This guy very obviously and intentionally followed me to my car. He starts off with,
"Hi there. You have pretty eyes. I was wondering if you were interested in our special today. We're offering services for your AC."
This damn guy. Are you kidding me? I was already irritated that he was talking to me again, but I was even more uncomfortable because he very obviously went out of his way to follow me. "We don't have AC," I responded curtly. That's a lie, but I figured it would get him out of my hair. He saw me putting the boxes in my trunk and offered to help, but I wasn't having it. I refused his help.
"Oh, okay. Well, do you live in this area? Around here?"
I thought that was an odd question.
"Do you have a heater?"
"No," I replied swiftly.
"Oh, okay."
He trailed off for a little bit before then saying,
"Can I have your name?"
I was done at this point. "I don't feel comfortable giving you my name. Have a blessed day." He then very suddenly left as quickly as he came. I quickly drove out of that parking lot, being sure not to pass the entrance again so he wouldn't be able to take a picture of my license plate or anything. I don't know what you all think, but I'm pretty sure it's not normal for somebody making sales pitches to step away from their station to follow a potential customer out to their car, especially when that person has already rejected the offer. This guy was obviously looking for a date, but definitely went about it in the worst way. It was also unsettling to me that he was insistent on getting as much information about me as he could. With the way social media is nowadays, it's definitely possible to be able to find someone based on a location and first name. I may be overreacting or overthinking things, but this could have very well turned into a situation where he could have stalked me online, or worse. You just never know. It doesn't matter if you don't think you're pretty or handsome. Creeps can and will try to approach you. Be alert, and please be careful. This happened to me around 6 years back when I was around 20. I used to stay with my parents and my brother. I learned to ride the cycle very late, as I had a fear for bikes and two-wheelers as a kid after a small accident. So yeah, I gathered up the courage to ride only as an adult, and back then I was still in my learning phase. One day my mom asked me to rush to the neighborhood store to buy a few items to cook lunch. Since I was still practicing then, I decided to take my cycle and ride down to the store. The store was on a main road, but still a very residential lane. Just to give you a background to the area, it's a very pleasant and lovely place, except that people would hardly be around outdoors, especially in the afternoon and at night. But the area is a pretty safe one, and this is why I didn't find it odd to ride down to the store to get some vegetables. So coming back to the story, I did have some trouble riding my cycle since I was still learning, but I managed to enter the main road. This is what I observed, a red car slowly following me. I figured that it probably needed to get by, and I tried to move to the side of the road, but the car continued to drive slowly behind me and followed me. Now I was worried, but I reached the store by then. So I quickly parked my bike outside and went into the store to buy the items that my mom asked for. Once done, I took a quick peek outside, and I still saw the car right outside just waiting. My heart dropped, and I was very scared, and I asked one of the men in the stores if they could draw me to the end of my road since the red car was following me. He gladly joined me, and instead of riding my cycle, I instead walked with it with the man alongside me. As we started, I observed the car speeding off ahead of us onto the main road. I thanked the man and then went back home. Since nothing much happened after that, I didn't mention it to anyone, and I just continued on thinking that maybe it's just done. Fast forward 3 months, I was able to ride much better at this point. And again, my mother asked me to rush to the store, this time in the other direction to the previous store. As I was riding down, the same red car pulled up beside me, and a man looked out with a creepy big grin. "Oh, so you finally learned to ride," he said, and then he just sped off down the lane. I was in complete shock, and I just froze, not knowing what to do. I tried to take note of the car number, and then rushed home and informed my family. We tried to find the car, but we could never find the car nor the owner. I also never saw that same car or the man again, so I just left it behind me. For everyone out there, please be very careful and always be on watch, because you have so many creepy folks out there whose intentions we never know. So stay safe and always carry your phone so you're reachable in case of danger.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch, Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Before I start this story, I want to say that I've always loved listening to true horror stories, as well as similar things. So maybe that's what made my brain pick up on the serious situation that I was in. So to give you a little bit of info, this happened when I was in the 7th grade. So I was around 12 years old, and my dad would always wait for me at the bus stop. But unfortunately, during the time this took place, he had to stay late for work. But my house was only up the street, so he trusted me to make the walk by myself. The walk started off as normal, as I had my earbuds in, so I wasn't fully aware of all of my surroundings, until I noticed a truck slowly trailing behind me, which made a pit form in my stomach, and something then told me that something was off about it. So I paused my music and tucked my headphones into my pocket so I could pay attention to everything happening around me. That's when I heard a man call out, and I just tried to ignore him. But he then called out my name, which then made me pause and then turn to look at the truck. He parked his truck right beside me.
"Hey, Blair."
I didn't recognize this man at all, so I took a step back on the sidewalk. Do I know you?" He gave me a smile that made me really uncomfortable.
"Yeah, I've known you since you were little."
He held up a hand, mocking how he knew me when I was younger. Cool. I went to turn away from him, but he slowly trailed beside me in his truck.
"Where's your dad? Does he know you're walking alone?"
My heart dropped. Yeah, he's waiting for me, so I gotta go. The man motioned for me to get into the truck, but I was always told stranger danger, and even though this man knew my name and claimed to know me, I had no recollection of ever knowing this man. I sped up my walk to a jog as the alarm bells were now ringing in my head, and he then called out to me, but I saw my house just ahead. So I then ran over and ran around the back so he couldn't tell which place was mine, and I figured that would be the end of it, until I saw the same white truck waiting at my bus stop, and so I asked one of my friends to walk with me, and he agreed. Once I got home, I had asked him to stay until my dad got home, but unfortunately his mom wanted him home, so I bid him goodbye and then locked the door behind him. I messaged one of my dad's friends asking him if he could walk me home for the next couple of days, and he agreed. Here's some things that you should know about him. He's almost 7 feet tall and on the heavier side, which makes him look pretty intimidating. But once you get to know him, you'd know that he was just a teddy bear and that he wouldn't hurt a fly. I felt relief when I saw him waiting at the bus stop, but dread filled me once I saw that cursed white truck yet again. So once I got off the bus, I discreetly motioned towards the truck and kept my voice low. "That truck has followed me for the last 2 days, and the guy claims that he knows me, but I don't know him." He looked over at the truck, and the guy sped off. Once I got home, he stayed with me until my dad had gotten home. And that's when I told my dad all about the guy who had been following me. He said that he knew you. My dad looked at me seriously. "What did this guy look like?" I hadn't paid too close attention, but a few details stuck out. "He was probably older than you. He had gray hair and stubble, and he was really thin, but that's all I really know." He just shook his head. I don't know anyone like that." Tears pricked my eyes as the situation hit me, and I thought I was in trouble. "Dad, am I in trouble?" He shook his head. "No, baby, you're not. Thank you for telling me this." He called off work for the next 2 days so that he could meet me at the bus stop. And so when I got off, he looked around. "Is he here?" I looked around, but I didn't see the white truck until we approached our house, and I then froze, pointing at the truck. My dad was a lot more confrontational than I had ever been. So he stormed over to the truck and then pounded on the window, yelling at the guy.
"Why the hell have you been following my daughter? What the hell's wrong with you?
The guy started the truck and peeled away, and my dad just called the cops once we got inside. Once they arrived, they questioned me about the guy, but I wasn't very much help with the description of him or his truck, as I could only give a basic description who could be anyone, and thousands of people could own this truck. But they just left, saying if they got any more information, they'd call us. They never did call us, and I haven't seen that guy again. I'm now 18 and I've since moved away from there. I carry pepper spray and a knife wherever I go now, and I'm always aware of my surroundings. If I ever have the feeling that someone's following me, I immediately call my dad. My advice to anyone listening is to always be careful and aware of your surroundings, and always listen to your gut. Also, always keep your phone nearby at all times. You just never know what will happen in this messed up world. The story takes place in a small town in Massachusetts. I was with my friend who, for privacy, we'll call Nancy. We were 14 years old when the story took place during the summer of 2005. Nancy and I used to sneak out at night after our parents went to bed. We would sometimes go to her boyfriend's house or just hang around outside with older kids that we really shouldn't have been hanging out with. Being that we were only 14 and they were 17, on this particular night, Nancy and I were sitting on my porch just talking. It was close to 11 p.m. No one else was outside aside from us for some reason, which was odd because I lived in the kind of neighborhood that was full of life during the summer. I want to backtrack a little bit though. There was this local neighborhood guy that I saw every day, and I'm pretty sure he sold drugs. I'm sure that we've all seen how TV shows portrays a drug dealer. He really fit all the makings of a drug dealer. This guy was about 5'8" in a skinny build, Hispanic, around mid to late 30s. Looking at him, you wouldn't take him for a threat. He never bothered me or my friend before. Okay, and now back to my story. Nancy and I were sitting on the porch when out of nowhere we saw him running down the street and he ran directly toward us. I don't know why we didn't run inside when we saw him. Maybe because we saw him all the time and he never bothered us before. But he ran right to us and grabbed Nancy's hand. The grip he had on her was unexplainable. I used to always think that a skinny guy would be weaker. But man, was I wrong. As he's pulling her towards the steps, I'm to the side of both of them trying to pull his hands off her. After a few seconds, he finally let go of her only to grab my arm now and try to pull me down the steps. I was pulling myself towards the door to go inside because I knew my dad was inside sleeping. At this time, Nancy's now trying to pull his hand away from my arm. Finally, I got close enough to the door to open it. I let myself fall so he couldn't pull me. This made him and Nancy fall as well. We fell on the living room floor, which was pitch dark, with him still gripping my hand. That's when I then yelled out for my dad, and I could hear my dad running down the hallway. Without even turning on the light, my dad started punching this guy, and I could hear him whimpering. When I turned on the light, the guy was now screaming from the side of my dad. My dad is about 6'2" and has a muscular build. He was one of those men who always wore a mad face, even when happy. My dad kept beating on him while the guy was saying he was sorry over and over. Finally, my dad yells at him to get the hell out of here. He drove Nancy home, who lived around the corner, and after doing a lot of begging, he didn't even tell her parents about what happened. I don't know what that guy's intentions were. I don't know if he was high, running away from someone, or just simply trying to harm us. I never did see him again. But I did end up moving to New Jersey the following year, and Nancy ended up moving to Florida a few months before me. Nancy and I are still best friends even to this day. I've never brought it back up to her. I wonder if she even remembers. My father passed away in 2015, and I just want to say thank you, Dad, for protecting me. I don't know what would have happened to us if you didn't save me like you always do. You're my hero. Warning, this story mentions sexual assault on a minor. If you don't want to listen, please skip this story. This happened when I was 14. I'm a male and in the UK. Hearing other people share such vulnerable stories kinda gave me the courage to share mine in case it somehow helps someone, even if it only helps someone know they're not alone. I live next door to a woman who I'll call C. I never thought anything of her as I was growing up, but she would chat with my family over a garden fence. We shared a hedge and my dad would cut it for her in the summer, as well as do the grass cutting if no one in her family was able to do so. Sometimes C would have her own father do garden stuff. But as I grew older, my dad began doing it more since C's dad was getting on in age. She was our neighbor before I was even born, and my mom and dad got along with her. My siblings didn't talk to her much, just like me, because, well, we were kids. C was in her very early 40s when I was 14. She was always friendly to me, and I thought she was a nice neighbor. She was a single mother but co-parented, and I was friendly with her two sons. They aren't very relevant to the story, but we would hang out sometimes, and C would watch us. But this never felt wrong because parents always look out for their kids. It was the summertime, and I had turned 14 only a month earlier. We were going through a mighty heat wave, and I was spending more time outside in my swimming trunks. We didn't have a pool, but I loved having water fights with my siblings and friends. We usually did this round the back, and it was really great for cooling down whilst also having fun. I remember one time I was in a water fight with my friends, and I noticed C was watching us. Her bedroom window faced the back garden area, and she could see me from her window as we were next door neighbors. I wasn't playing with her sons, and it wasn't a bad thing to look out your window. But something about her gaze, it made me feel a little awkward. I can't describe it. I just felt like I wanted to cover up right at that moment because I didn't want her to see my body. I just felt kind of weird in that moment. She smiled at me and just kept staring. Her eyes were following me, and she was definitely staring at my bare chest, which just felt weird to me. I was never attracted to see. She wasn't an unattractive lady, but I didn't have a crush on her or anything. I honestly felt embarrassed she was watching me because of the way her gaze felt. It just felt wrong to me, but I pushed it to the back of my mind and just tried to shake it off. I continued playing with my friends and she watched the entire time, smiling at me if we locked eyes. I smiled back. I know it sounds dramatic, but after that incident, I didn't want to go outside without my top on. I didn't tell anyone about C looking because, well, she hadn't done anything wrong technically. I thought I was just being weird, and like I said, ignored it. A few days later, C struck up a conversation with me. I'd taken the bin out for my mom and she had called me over to the fence. Okay, not weird. She asked me how I was enjoying the summer, and I said I was having lots of fun. It was late July, and I was really glad to be getting a break from school. The conversation was fine, and the next day, the same thing happened. C saw me outside and waved me over. This happened for about a week straight. I liked talking to her, and it didn't seem weird. One day she mentioned seeing me have my water fight. I remember she told me that she was shocked that I'd grown so much. I said, "I'm almost as tall as my dad now," because I was used to adults fawning over me growing up. But C laughed and then said, "It's more than your height. You're developing a man's body." This made me feel embarrassed and I felt flustered, honestly. I didn't know what to say, and I don't even remember what I ended up saying. I just remember C telling me, "You're certainly gonna be a handsome young lad one day," before she went back inside. Again, I felt embarrassed and confused. I was a scrawny 14-year-old, certainly nowhere near a man yet. I didn't tell anyone, but I felt awkward. It was flattering to be complimented, especially by a woman, but it just felt weird. I know I keep saying that, but it's truly how I felt. In August, my dad had a heart attack. It came as a massive shock to us because he was so healthy. He was in the hospital for a long time, and he's doing all right now, but at the time it was terrifying. I was a wreck, as was everyone in my family. I remember that C offered her support to us, and I was really friendly with her sons, so they were there for me too. This is where the story gets hard to relive, but here it goes. C suggested that I do the garden for her to earn myself some pocket money. For those outside of the UK, pocket money is just money your parents give you. I didn't care about pocket money with everything going on, but it seemed like a kind gesture from a caring adult. My mom asked if I'd like to do the garden for C, and I just figured, yeah, why not? I had to mow the grass and do some stuff to the hedge, front and back of the house. I felt confident because I'd seen my dad do it loads of times, and it wasn't too complicated. I had headphones on as I did it, and C would offer me ice-cold water or lemonade. My mom was always in the house when I did this, and she could have easily looked out a window and saw me at any point. The first day I cut the front grass, C spoke to me as I took a break. I accepted water from her, and she quizzed me about my dad. I told her he was still recovering, but the doctors were concerned about him. I remember that C put her arm around my shoulders, and she told me that she knew it had to be hard on me, but that I had to be the man of the house now. I had to support my mom and be strong for her. I mumbled something like, "Yeah, I know," and that weird feeling washed over me again. I didn't really want to discuss my dad with anyone, especially not C. Honestly, I was scared that if I chatted about it for way too long, I would cry, and I didn't want that. I went back to the garden stuff and got a good chunk of it done. The next day, I had more to do and then set off to work. C had offered me lemonade this time, which I accepted. She insisted that I take a break again when I was cutting the hedge, and she asked how I was doing again. I said I was fine, and she went quiet for a while. She then sighed, and it was then my turn to ask if she was all right. I wasn't expecting her to say no, and I asked what was wrong when she did. She sighed again and was acting shifty. She then told me that she was really struggling being a single mom at her age. She went into a tirade about how dating is a nightmare because men judge her, and she also has no time for it. I had no clue what to even say to this, so I just listened to her, unsure why she was even telling me all of this. When she was finished, she looked like she might cry, and I just told her it would all be okay. Well, she then put her head in her hands and started shaking her shoulders. Looking back, I'm not sure if she was really crying or if it was fake. But in the moment, I assumed it was real. I remember setting my drink down and addressing her by her last name and saying I was sorry that she was going through such a hard time. I then reiterated that everything really would be okay though. At this, she looked at me and just started laughing. It was a weird laugh, almost like she was laughing at a kid doing something cute. She told me I was a great listener, and she said that she wished all guys were like me. I felt my face redden, and I looked away from her. We sat in silence for a moment before she then got up and said she better go inside and freshen up. I remember I didn't move after she went back inside because I was thinking about what had just happened. I thought we'd had a really weird exchange, but again, I just put it to the back of my mind like usual. Eventually, I had to move to the back garden, and C had offered me lots of water and lemonade as I did this. My mom was in the house, one of my siblings was in our street playing, and the other was in our house. When C spoke to me, she thanked me for listening to her, and she then hugged me without asking. I'm not saying that it's always bad to hug people without asking, just stating what she did. On this afternoon, it was really humid and hot. I was struggling, and C knew it. She suggested that I take my top off, but I didn't want to. She then asked me to come inside into the shade. I had no choice but to do that because the sun was killing me outside. I remember that she let me run my arms under the cold water in her kitchen sink, and it was heavenly. Her house wasn't much different from ours, and now is prime time to mention that her sons were staying at their dad's for a couple of weeks. Looking back, I always wonder if she planned things that way. We ended up in her living room, and we ended up chatting. After a while of asking me about school, she asked me if I had a girlfriend. I said no, which was true, and she asked if I had any crushes. I said I didn't know because I felt awkward, She smiled at me. It looked almost pitiful, and she told me that she had been unpopular with the girls at my school. I laughed because I had never even had a girlfriend, so I remember thinking that was so far from the truth. C continued saying, "I'm serious. You're a handsome boy." This made me beam, but I was embarrassed too. Something always felt awkward with C's compliments, but it kind of made me feel cool too. I mean, maybe what she was saying was true and I just couldn't see it. She was a lot older than me, and adults always seemed to know stuff. I remember I went back out and did garden stuff, and I remember C telling me to just come back tomorrow to finish it, and she'd make me a lunch as a thank you. The next day, C did prep me some lunch. It was just ham and cheese sandwiches, and we ate it in our living room together. It was a later lunch, but it was still nice. When we finished eating, she asked me if I wanted another drink. I said yeah, expecting water or lemonade. But she brought me back alcohol. I could tell from the smell, and obviously it didn't look like water or lemonade. I stared at her, and she said it was my treat for being such a good boy. I know that's such a gross line, but in the moment it didn't register. I felt grown up, and I didn't want to look like a loser, so I drank it. Well, she ended up bringing this bottle of wine right into the living room, and she kept topping up my glass. After a while, I started to feel pretty messed up because I'd never drank before, and honestly, I wouldn't put it past her to have laced it with something. She kept complimenting me, and she was sitting right next to me. She started to ask me if I'd ever kissed a girl before, and I felt like the room was spinning. I remember trying to get up, saying I had to get home. But C pulled me back down by my arm. I basically fell in her lap, and she started whispering that it was okay, and to shush. Before I go any further, you need to know that this story gets darker, and I get sexually assaulted. So if you don't want to listen anymore, go ahead and stop now. Anyways, I repeated that I needed to get going, but she said it was okay and I should stay longer. I remember saying that I didn't feel great, and C just kept telling me it was okay. She asked me again if I'd ever kissed a girl, and I said yeah. Without missing a beat, she asked if it gave me a boner, and I had a bad feeling rise within me. I repeated again that I didn't feel good, and she told me that she knew what would make me feel better, and started rubbing on my stomach. I know it sounds weird, but I felt like I couldn't move. I had a bad feeling and I felt really out of it and scared. I really hate admitting that, but I was scared. I felt like I was going to have a panic attack or something. She laid me down while staying on top of me and just continued rubbing my stomach. I just wanted to go home and I could feel her getting closer to me. After a few minutes, I felt her straddle me and I was on my back. I had my face to the side because I felt like I might puke because my mind was just spinning. I remember she leaned down and she asked if I had ever been touched by a woman before. I felt very panicked now because I knew something bad was happening, and I couldn't believe I was actually in this messed up situation. I said no. No to the question, but also no as in please don't touch me. I tried to push her off, but I couldn't move my arms. My entire body was heavy and I felt like sand. My head was swirling and I could feel her starting to fiddle around with herself. I was aware of removing my hands to touch her and I just felt really confused. I didn't want to do this and I barely felt conscious. I know people will say that this wasn't a big deal and that what happened to me was a dream scenario and I should be grateful and that all boys are all sex obsessed and up for anything. But I was 14 years old, and C was in her 40s. Even if I wanted what happened, it still wouldn't be okay for her to want me in a sexual way. And I really think she drugged me, because to this day, I've never experienced anything like what I did that day. I felt so scared, and I wanted to go home so badly. I could feel her groping my junk, and I told her to stop it and that I didn't want her to touch me. She just kept shushing me over and over. I felt so weak because I couldn't get her off of me. I shut my eyes and I started to feel this weird acceptance, like this was it. I'm just stuck in this shitty situation and there's nothing I can do except lay here and pray that it's over soon. Long story short, she did a lot of shit to me. She removed my clothes from the waist down and removed all of her clothing. She huffed that my body wasn't responding how she wanted it to, and she kept trying to force me into her. It was the most uncomfortable feeling I'll ever go through, and I just felt totally numb. I started passing out when I came back to myself, and I just kept my head tilted away and my eyes tightly shut. My eyes were wet, but she didn't even seem to notice or care. She got my body to do what she wanted it to, and that made everything worse. I didn't want any of this, but I know people will say I must have. I eventually woke up and she wasn't on me anymore, and I felt like I could move more than I could before. The room was empty. Her clothes weren't scattered around, and it was still bright outside. I stumbled up and tried to put my clothes back on. I remember I couldn't run. I just staggered around like an idiot. I left without my shoes and staggered into my house. My mom was home. She heard me come into the house and shouted that Cian told her I was done doing the garden work and that I'd fallen asleep from the exhaustion. My mom said Cian had popped by to give my mom some cash and that she was going to the supermarket, and she knew I'd just go home whenever I woke up from my nap. My mom was in the kitchen cleaning, and her back was mostly to me. I can't even remember what I said to my mom because I felt truly insane. I was in total shock and denial. I couldn't believe what had happened. It felt like a nightmare. I remember going upstairs and immediately showering. No one found this odd because it was boiling hot and I'd been working in the heat in their eyes. I was in there for so long. I remember finding extra money in my shorts pocket. Looking back, I now know it was hush money. I couldn't come to terms with what happened. I just pretended like nothing ever happened. At night, I'd lie in bed unable to sleep, and whenever I did, I had nightmares. I felt ashamed and guilty, embarrassed and so unbelievably stupid. I distanced myself from C's sons. We were never best friends, so it didn't really matter that much. I avoided C like the plague. She would always smile at me whenever she saw me and continue talking to my parents. It made me feel sick. I vowed that I'd never tell anyone what happened to me that day. I'd hear stories of men talking about being raped by a woman, and I'd see men downplay it or laugh at it. Women too. I just figured that no one would believe me, and if they did, they would say that I should have liked it or something. I felt like my body betrayed me in many ways. I've read that erections can happen due to extreme fear and due to constant stimulation, even if unwanted. But still, it really messed me up. To this day, my parents still don't know what C did to me. I've only ever told my girlfriend, and that was really hard as hell. She's helped me see how messed up it all was, and I'm currently on a waiting list to see a therapist. Therapy in the UK is a nightmare to access sometimes, but I'm trying. C still lives next door to my parents, and I still avoid her. She's made comments about me being grown up now, but I always ignore her and push down the pain that these interactions bring up. I prefer to meet my parents at restaurants or at my place instead of visiting them. They're none the wiser as of right now, but maybe someday I'll be strong enough to tell them the truth. Hopefully they believe me. I'll never be able to forget what C did to me, and I'll never get over it. I can't let her destroy my life though. And I wouldn't say I do, but it's not been easy to get where I am now. Intimacy is so hard for me. She's messed me up mentally, and trusting people is a nightmare. I told my girlfriend in a letter because I was so scared to see her face when she learned about it. I honestly expected her to dump me or laugh in my face. I just want anyone who's gone through something similar to know that you aren't alone. It's sad. But at least you aren't the only one in the world that's going through this. We aren't dumbasses, and it wasn't our fault. Please tell someone before it eats you alive.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
When I was 12 years old, my parents finally allowed me to walk home from school. I always walked with three of my friends, and my house was the last on our route. I'd only have to walk like 5 minutes on my own. Anyway, one day I was doing this 5-minute walk without my friends when a large fancy car pulled up beside me. It was black and super shiny. I stopped walking because I was naive, but I was still cautious. The window rolled down and the driver poked his head out and asked if I'd like a ride home. I said no and continued walking. But to my horror, the car started to slowly move alongside me. I was so nervous, but I had felt some relief knowing that I was close to home and my dad would be home because he always had a day off on Fridays. I then realized there were more men in the car, but I couldn't see them because they were in the back of the car and the windows were tinted. I ignored the driver as he just kept asking me if I was really sure that I didn't want to ride. I tried to speed up, but the car kept following me. I decided that I couldn't show these guys where I lived, and an idea came into my head. I then told the man, "I'm home now," and darted across the street and then ran up to a random driveway. I pretended to wave at someone through the front window, then ran to the back of their house praying the actual owners wouldn't see me and think I was a creep trying to rob them or something. Honestly, I don't know why I didn't just knock on the door. I guess I was just afraid of what would happen if no one answered. I hid at the back of their house for like 10 minutes. Then I decided to call my dad. He went into typical dad mode, demanding to know where this car following me was and telling me he'd be there to get me immediately. We stayed on the phone and he drove to the street I was on, then got out of his car and came right into this random person's garden to get me. He walked me to his car, and I saw no sign of the creepy guys after that. After this incident, I wasn't allowed to walk home from school anymore. My parents would always pick me up or give me money for a bus or taxi. I'm so glad those guys didn't snatch me or something. They clearly had creepy intentions. I'm just really glad my dad was there to help me out that day. Back when I was in high school, I was in charge of picking my sister up from the bus stop. My parents worked late, and I was always home early, so it worked out. Plus, it wasn't super out of the way, as it was at a plaza 15 minutes away from my house. Little did I know how many problems that would create. During the spring, I'd gone like usual to pick up my sister. As I watched the bus pull in, something had told me to look to my left. Parked a few spots over was a man in a gray pickup truck, and he was staring right at me. He wasn't even trying to hide it. Once he noticed, I saw him. He then grinned and flashed his crooked yellow teeth. I felt sick. He was definitely older. I could tell by the sad excuse of a mustache forming on his face. Considering I went there every day, I'd gotten to know all the parents that waited for their kids. This guy had never been here once. My stomach dropped once I saw him making his way over to my car. I looked over to the bus. My sister had only just started to get off. I knew I was screwed. I flinched at the sound of a knock on my window. It was him. He motioned for me to roll down my window, which was the last thing I wanted to do. Reluctantly, I lowered it just so I could hear him. He motioned for me to roll it down further, but I shook my head. I don't even remember the conversation word for word, but it was along the lines of this.
"You look really familiar. Do you know so-and-so?"
"No, I don't," I said.
"Are you sure? I swear that I've seen you before. Do you live here?"
And they mentioned some random town that I didn't even know. I then replied, No, I don't.
Oh. Well, anyway, what are you doing out here all by yourself?
I'm here for my sister, I said.
Oh, all right. Where do you two live?
Close by.
Oh, well, where at?
He said. Just as he began to ask where specifically I lived, I noticed my sister was right at my car door. I cut him off just in time. I gotta go, bye. Once my sister was in, I immediately put my window back up. The man got visibly frustrated and knocked at my window yet again. I started to drive and he walked towards his car. I left the parking lot faster than usual, and my sister could tell something was up. She asked about the man, but I just told her it was nothing. I didn't want her to be afraid. I thought I was fine, until I saw that same gray truck right behind me. The sicko was following me. My sister asked me again what was wrong. I couldn't be more obvious. My clenched teeth and iron grip on the steering wheel practically gave me away. I turned off the main road and onto a back road. He was still there. I just kept turning and turning until I finally lost him. Once I felt safe, I started driving back home. Once I was finally home, I finally felt like I could relax. Both my sister and I were super hungry, so I started to make us dinner. That's when my dog started barking. I ignored it at first, since most of the time she'd bark at just animals outside. But she didn't stop. Considering what just happened, I left the kitchen to go check it out. Nothing could prepare me for what I was about to see. It was the man from the plaza. He was looking in our front window. He spotted me instantly and began erratically trying to open up the window. Once he realized he couldn't, he started banging on it. I was shaking so hard I could barely even dial 911. I then screamed at him that I was calling the cops, and he froze. Once I was connected to an operator, he ran off. The cops got there around 10 minutes later. They checked all around the house, but he was long gone. I was really terrified to pick up my sister from the bus stop again for a long time, but I never saw him again after that, and hopefully I never will. I live in South Africa, and I don't really live in the greatest neighborhood to begin with, so I'm always cautious. But I was home and I was babysitting my toddler niece at the time. So home alone, but not quite. When my sister called my cell to let me know that she had a delivery she was expecting around noon and if I could keep an eye out for it. To note, it was a rainy and stormy day. The roads were even flooded. So I was surprised anyone would make the trek out in the weather. But I told her I'd keep an eye out for it and then went back to babysitting my niece. About an hour or two after that, there was a knock on the front door. I went to go and see who was there, and opened the door. We have a security gate in place, so I felt pretty safe. There was a middle-aged man in a raincoat, looking drenched from the rain. He told me that he was here to deliver a package for Miss S, which is my sister. I was a bit shocked that he was there so early. It was around 10 a.m., not quite noon. But I assumed maybe due to the weather he came earlier to not risk being on the roads. At least, I assumed so. He then said, "Can you open the door so I can bring it in?" Now, I don't know how it works in other countries, but I've never heard a delivery man ever ask to come inside with the package. The item my sister ordered, let's just say it was something like spare parts for the washing machine. But not something that I couldn't carry in myself. I didn't see him with any package though, and I just got this terrible gut feeling. I can't explain it other than every hair on my body stood on end, and I just knew he was lying. I told him to leave the package by the door. He looked at me kinda funny and then just said, No, it's okay. You can trust me. I just don't want you to have to carry such a heavy box. Now, he had no box, and from what I could see from behind the safety gate, there was no truck or anything to indicate he was even a delivery man. I told him a bit more firmly, "Whatever it is, it's fine. My father can help me carry it inside if it's that heavy. I lied. I didn't want him to know I was home alone. I just got a feeling that something was very, very wrong. He went from being polite to suddenly more forceful. He then said that I had to let him in, saying that, "But the package is right around the corner. I can't just leave it there." And nonsense like, "I have to take it inside or I could get fired." I was getting really annoyed and I told him to leave. I don't care what he has. He started to argue with me, and the commotion caused my niece to wake up, and she came looking for me and stood right behind me. My heart dropped. The man looked at her and then told me, "Oh, you have a really pretty baby. Is she yours? You look a little too young to be a mom." I grabbed my niece and basically slammed the door closed. I yelled for my father to come, that some man was outside. My father wasn't home, but I wanted him to think someone other than me was home. I ran into my room, locked the door, and then called my father and the cops. To make a long story short, the delivery my sister made got canceled due to the storm. But being the idiot that she was talking to her husband outside that morning about the delivery. Her husband said he wouldn't be there, and only I would be home to pick it up. And from what we could gather, this strange man must have heard it all. I don't know if he was homeless or just some opportunistic criminal who thought he could steal, but the fact that he was so okay doing this in broad daylight knowing someone would be home gave me the creeps. Nothing big or crazy ever came of this incident, but it makes me sick to think about if I had just let him in and didn't trust my gut. I'm a 16-year-old female, and I was hanging out with my two friends, Tati and Bella, both obviously female and 16 years old as well. We were at the age where we were mildly experimenting with alcohol. This particular evening, we had all planned to stay the night at Tati's place and have a few drinks. We all got a bit drunk, and around 11 p.m. decided to go for a walk around Tati's neighborhood. The area we grew up in was not a crime-ridden area, so us being intoxicated and walking around didn't feel too unsafe. We decided to venture by the train tracks 4 blocks away where we started running around and jumping between the tracks. So dumb, I know. We thought it would be a great idea to start taking pictures with the flash on, which was pretty bright. We were being pretty loud and there were a lot of flashes happening. That's when I looked towards the street that led us to the tracks. There was one street light on, and underneath the street light was a man wearing all black with a baseball cap on. I couldn't see his face because of how far away he was, but he was facing directly towards us, just watching. I immediately freaked out and pointed him out to my friends. We all freaked out, and Tati took us through these side bushes that would help us avoid going to the man's direction, and then leading us back to her neighborhood. We made it back to the neighborhood and then slowed down to catch our breaths. As we did, I'm looking behind us to see if he's still there. He was just turning the corner and was heading towards us, this time walking at a very fast pace. We all freaked out again and then sprinted around another corner. He was still following us and now catching up. This time we sprinted all the way home. We went into Toddy's place, locked the doors, and checked outside. We didn't end up seeing him again, but we didn't sleep very well that night at all. Despite our stupid drunk decisions, we had all made it out unscathed, and nothing bad actually happened to us. It bothers me most whenever I wonder, how long was that man watching us for? What did he plan to do if he had actually caught up with us? Hey everyone, that's about it for today's stories. If you have your own story that you would like to send, you can send it in at southerncannibal.com or you can email it at southerncannibalstories@gmail.com. I look forward to telling your story. Have a good night or good day, everyone. And remember, to always stay hungry.
Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.